Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by the Heritage Meat Shop, located in the historic Essex Street Market in New York City. For more information, visit heritagemeatshop.com.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Heritage Meat Shop. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food, culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. With my Below the Mason Dixie charm, I spotlight the culture of the food movement, from chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking food headlines, Goat Town, NYC, and continuing our month-long ode to ice cream. If you're listening live to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network, remember we have a call-in number. Our number here, live and in the flesh in Bushwick, Brooklyn, is 718-497-2128. So, I was out last week, so I'm a little bit behind in my food headlines, but I have two things that I want to highlight in terms of food headlines. I think one of the biggest things happened last week is that the Farm Bill was passed through Congress, and they slipped in a bunch of cuts to SNAP. SNAP is also known as food stamps. So there's a lot of things going on. I think it goes to the Senate next. So there is still some time to call your rep and complain. But yeah, they snuck in a whole bunch of stuff. You can go to grist.com. They have a lot of information about what's going on and how to take action with the Farm Bill. So yeah, the Farm Bill thing drags on with cuts. So stay up to date, all the food politic heads out there. Next up in my food headlines, which I thought was really cool and something that I always look forward to, New York Magazine, Cheap Eats 2012. Every year around this time, they come out with a list in their magazine. And I keep all of them. I ran out of my subscription to New York Magazine. Do you get a subscription to New York Magazine? But you can look at it online. And they had some great spots on here. Some of my favorite spots on the list. Are you listening now and you feel like something's off the list? I'm trying to pull it up. Send me a tweet. Let me know. Let's see what was on there. I feel like maybe Meatball Shop was on there. Why won't my list come up? Anywho, we're going to talk about it again with my guests in the studio. But New York Magazine Cheap Eats 2012 came out about a week and a half ago, maybe a week ago. I think it was on the 9th, so that's probably last week. We're going to talk a little bit more about the list with my guests in the studio. Keep listening. We're going to take a quick break and come back and get into a conversation with the owner of Goat Town NYC. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Aztec by Dr. Jeep.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. All right, folks, I'm so happy because we are continuing our conversation all month long about ice cream. It is National Ice Cream Month. And in the studio to talk Goat Town and ice cream is Nicholas Morgan Stern.
How you doing?
Nicholas, welcome to Hot Grease. And we actually have Gerardo, I'm screwing up your name.
No, it's good.
Gonzalez in the studio. He's a line cook, and Nicholas. Do you go by Nicholas or Nick?
You know, my mom named me Nicholas.
Oh, so. Okay. Excuse moi. So, Nicholas, who is the owner of Goat Town. Nicholas, again, welcome.
Thank you.
So, did you see the list in New York Mag?
Yeah, I took a look at it. We get a subscription at the restaurant.
Oh, okay. I can't even remember who's on there. All I remember is the whole little article about the Asian hipster cuisine.
There's that.
Who else was on there?
You had Parm was in there. Mile End got on there. Not Jean, but the new Jean Famous Foods. They have a new restaurant. I think it's called Biang or Bang, maybe it's pronounced. I don't know. I haven't been over there yet. Mission Chinese. I'm trying to
figure out
scour my memory here.
Yeah, I'm looking. It finally came up now. The things that are closest to you on there, I think Bob White Lunch and
yeah,
Super.
Yeah, Bob White. I haven't gone there once a week. Yeah, it's good. They do a good job over there.
Okay, I've gone to the Cardinal. Huge fan of the Cardinal.
They're awesome. Yeah. Curtis is in my store once a week at least, and I'm doing the same over there.
Curtis. He's been on the show. And they have a lot of Brooklyn spots. Do you still live in Brooklyn?
I live in Clinton, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, they have Chucko on there.
Yep.
Barbancino, which is a Brooklyn spot. I feel like they did a great job. I see the Sticky Fingers joint is on here. I
haven't been over there yet.
Okay, that is actually in the city on West 8th Street in McDougal, which is so funny because last night they debuted on Bobby Flay Has a New Show, and they were on there. It was hilarious.
Interesting.
But anyway.
What about Alex Riage's new place is in there, I think. Lavar, is that what
yeah,
it's called?
Yeah, I haven't been there.
I'm a big fan of hers, though. I really like what they do. Her and Edder, her husband, they're awesome.
So, you're in Alphabet City, GoTown, NYC. What made you choose that spot, Alphabet City? Because you kind of were there right before, or probably at the same time that it kind of exploded with a whole bunch of new stuff.
I wound up in that neighborhood, I don't want to say by accident, but there was just felt like there was energy moving in that neighborhood, kind of a revitalization. And you're right. I mean, it happened around me while I was there, but I definitely was looking around, seeing how many people were coming to the neighborhood or revamping what they were doing in the neighborhood. And it continues. I've been there for 2 years now. I signed my lease 2 years ago, and it continues. It's continuing to grow, and there's a lot of really fantastic stuff happening.
And I've had dinner there. I absolutely love the feel of the restaurant. The design is like,
thank you,
super exciting. It's something about it. How would you describe your food if someone said, you know, put Goat Town NYC in a category?
It's hard. I mean, if you're just going to generalize it, it's sustainable American or seasonal American or however you want to categorize that. But and that's broad, and you know, half the restaurants that are opening now fall into that category. So it's difficult. I wouldn't say that we focus on what's in season at a given time. We focus on the quality of the product that we use. It doesn't necessarily mean that it came from next door, you know. We like products that come from abroad that are really, really good. So,
but since you brought up the thing next door, we got to talk about Mr. Gonzalez in the studio. I'm so happy you brought me flowers.
I brought you flowers and some radishes.
Radishes
from
and
our
this
garden.
Is. So where is y'all's garden exactly?
The thing with the space that we have there is GoTown is a really unusual circumstance where our outdoor space is bigger than our indoor space. Uh-huh. So we have about 2,000 square feet behind the restaurant that we're able to cultivate for growing as much vegetables as we can figure out how to get in and out of the ground. And we get a lot of sunlight there. Really good exposure, and we can do whatever we want except put customers out there. So it makes sense for us to put vegetables out there.
I was about to say, I don't see a backyard, but let me ask you this. So how did you go from being the line cook and then getting out in the garden, managing everything in the garden? How did that happen?
Wait, I got to interrupt you.
Oh, you got to interrupt me?
Just for a second.
Okay,
because
cool.
Because Gerardo did his externship with me at the General Green.
So y'all go way back.
Yeah, and Gerardo went on to go and do some other things, and he had started to cultivate an interest in working with growing things for a restaurant.
Yeah.
So I worked very hard to convince him to
come
and do that.
Oh, so he snatched you back, Gerardo.
I pined, and it took a while, but the timing worked out perfectly, and so that's, let me just give you that intro.
So you're on the line, and you're managing the stuff that's in the garden.
Yeah, I'm running from the line, picking stuff.
Oh, wow.
Putting it on the plate.
So right now you have beets.
Well, right here we have black radish and watermelon radish, and one of the things that we're really excited about is the Hakurai turnips, the Tokyo turnips. And that right there Alpine radish. So we're growing a lot of varieties of vegetables that you...
What else do you have out there besides the turnip and the radishes?
Well, over here I brought some of our herbs from our garden. This is some chamomile, so you can have some tea later on.
Love this.
That has been drying for about a week. And this I just cut today.
Thank you.
So you got to hang that.
Yeah, I need to hang that. Am I able to make some kind of simple syrup or something?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Indeed. So that's what I'm going to do with this.
And this right here is anise hyssop. It's an herb that they were growing last year.
I was about to ask you, what the hell is this?
Smell it. Smell the flowers.
Taste the leaf.
Taste the leaf.
Or taste the flower.
Tell me the name one more time so the listeners can hear.
Anise hyssop.
Anise hyssop. Oh, okay.
So anisette, which you know.
Slightly licorice,
exactly.
But not so sweet. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Love it. Love it. So are you guys doing any simple syrups or...
We do use a lot of this stuff in a cocktail program.
Cool.
So the bronze fennel specifically is in a cocktail that we have on the menu right now, Cuckoo Goat, which is very popular. The anisette flavor has somehow found its way into almost everything that we do at the restaurant.
I like that.
It works for us. So
it
we
does.
Do the bronze fennel, we have the anise hyssop, and then whether we have so many different types of liquor that are based on that work in the cocktail menu and also in cooking. We use the herb sant in one of the dishes on the menu, so anise has been something that inadvertently has found its way onto our menu.
So if folks are listening now and they're like, ooh, I need to go down to Goat Town, what should folks order right now? What's hot on the menu as of today?
Well, Gerardo, what do you think?
From brunch, I just got off of working from this past weekend. There's a few dishes that we've been bringing in from the garden. There is a nice grits dish. It's braised pork butt with carrot top chimichurri.
That so sounds good.
Utilizing all of the carrot leaves that we get. Carrot
yeah,
tops.
A lot of people throw the carrot leaves away. They don't know
they're
what
amazing.
To do.
They're amazing. They're great.
Yeah.
But they're amazing.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to talk about what I know you from, the ice cream, Nicholas.
All right.
So listeners, keep listening to Hot Grease on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We'll be back in a sec. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.org. If you're just tuning in live, we are chatting with the owner of Goat Town NYC, Mr. Nicholas. Nicholas, what is it?
Morgenstern.
Morgan. Why do I want to say Morgenstern? Is Morgenstern.
Morgenstern is more common.
Nicholas, what I think is completely hilarious is that folks think you are so gorgeous. You really are. You were like voted what? Most beautiful person in New York or something. Oh, you're blushing.
This is embarrassing. It's
why?
Embarrassing. I don't know. It's a weird thing. You know, you're born the way you are. So.
So did you get embarrassed when you found out they like voted you the most gorgeous, beautiful?
Yes.
You were embarrassed?
I don't.
Oh, well, hey, use it to your advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Someone has told me that. Yeah.
Okay. So I didn't realize that you actually started off as a pastry chef.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me this, because I don't know this. I've never really worked. As much as I eat food and cook at home, I've never worked in a restaurant. So do all pastry chefs totally get ice cream?
Get it, meaning they
know how to prepare ice cream?
You asking me?
I'm asking
my
you,
opinion.
Your opinion.
No.
Ah. So how did you, you know, get into the ice cream part?
The ice cream game.
Ice cream game. You know, as, I know you worked as a pastry chef. You were at what restaurant before?
I mean, I worked at a lot of places, but in New York City, when I first came to New York City about 10 years ago, I worked for Danielle Boulud at Danielle. And then I went to France and I came back. And then I worked for a guy named Simon Oren, who owns a lot of restaurants in New York City. And then I went in, I was the exec pastry chef at Gramercy Tavern. And then I went to work with Paul Lee Brandt at Gilt. And I've known Paul for a really long time. I did a lot of consulting work, and then I opened the General Green in Brooklyn after that. And I had other pastry experience before that. So I had been doing pastry professionally for a little over 10 years when I opened the General Green, at which point I kind of changed my position and stopped being in the kitchen as much as I had before.
And that's the first time I've tasted your ice cream was General Green.
Yeah.
You created a stand out there in General Green, and everyone fell in love with your... At the time, I didn't really realize that it was Philly style.
Right, yeah. That's something that's fairly specific to what I do. And I started making ice cream really where I was like very interested in it and focused on it in 1998 at a hotel in San Francisco that I worked in. That's where I'm from. I'm from San Francisco. And... was interested in it and focused. At that point, I was a cook, and I would then continue to be a cook for many years after that. So you're working under chefs, and you're, you know, making ice cream against their recipes or their techniques. And I would say that, you know, it was really Paul Lee Brandt who really started to push me towards making different ice cream a different way.
Ah.
And Paul, I don't, you know, people may or may not know this about Paul, but the guy has a crazy sweet tooth.
Oh.
So dessert is really important to him. And if you're working for him as a pastry chef, he takes dessert as seriously as he does the rest of his food. And if you've ever met the guy, he takes his food very seriously. So everything, you know, the start of the meal to the finish of the meal is really important to Paul. And so, you know, when I started to work with him maybe 5 or 6 years ago, he was pushing me to do things with ice cream that I would not have necessarily done on my own. And that started the ball rolling for me to study chemistry more clearly and have a better understanding of the foundation of ice cream, not just taking a recipe that you know and then manipulate that a little bit, but to really go back to the basics to understand what ice cream is chemically and then to work from there to create something that's your own or that's different. So
what exactly is Philly style ice cream? Because I don't think a lot of people
understand the difference between those things. Uh-huh. So the brief and abbreviated history of ice cream making goes back to very ancient China. And if you want to look at like European cooking technique, you can find history of it in France. And in France, when ice cream making was becoming commonplace for royalty, they would have been making a creme anglaise base, which is an egg custard, a cooked egg custard that's a stovetop process where you're coagulating the protein in an egg yolk using hot cream or hot milk or a combination of both with some sugar until the point that the protein in the egg yolk thickens the mixture. Then you take it off the heat. If you have a straining method, you strain it, you cool it, and then you freeze it from there. And the process of making ice cream freezing while mixing is that you are adding air as you are freezing the water molecules in the mixture. I'm giving you the most basic.
No, I realize that ice cream, I mean, I'm like addicted to ice cream. So in doing a lot of research over the last few years, I see that it's complete science. And people that are into it, they're into it. And you're into it.
Kinda.
No, not kinda. You
are. If you want it to be good, you got to understand this stuff, I think. Unless you're just a savant and you just woke up in the morning and you knew what to do, maybe that happens. It didn't happen for me. I had to study it a little bit.
Well, so, you know, any good person, if you're trying to perfect anything, you always have to study.
Yeah, do some reading.
So let me ask you this. So
Philly style, let me just answer your question. Style. So if you fast forward a little bit to like ice cream making in the United States, you know, when you see these expressions like frozen custard or French custard, that's referring to a frozen creme anglaise base, which means that you've got an egg yolk product in your ice cream. I think that American style ice cream developed much later on. Industrial Revolution had started, and there was much more dairy product readily available. Whereas in Europe, when ice cream making started to be more commonplace, the best product of the dairy, the cream, would be separated and used for cheese making. And this was because there wasn't refrigeration and there wasn't a way to store the product. So the cream product would be made into butter or cheese. Mm-hmm. You fast forward a couple hundred years in the United States, then you would have A, more space, B, more cattle available for per person than you would in Europe. Therefore, you would have cream more readily available. So you could make an ice cream base that did not require eggs, an egg product. So a really traditional American ice cream, or what is known as Philadelphia style ice cream, would be cream, sugar, and peaches. That's it.
So you hear people, no eggs.
No eggs. So I don't use eggs in any of my ice cream, and I haven't actually made an egg-based ice cream, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years since I started doing this. But I do think that at some point in the future, I will make a French custard as a flavor. That'll be a flavor that we would offer.
Okay.
Because it's a flavor. Like, if you can find an outstanding egg, the egg has a flavor, and then you would have a flavor of ice cream that would have that as the proof. The profile would be the egg.
So, hands down, what would you say, folks, most when they hear your name in ice cream, Nicholas, and they remember your stand, which flavor, when folks come to Goat Town and they're trying to get the ice cream fix with one of your great desserts on the menu, which the ones people love?
The salted caramel pretzel that I can't get away from it. We've been making it for so long, so much of that ice cream. And I still make that ice cream base myself, and I still love to make it.
Oh, so you're in the kitchen still doing the base yourself?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I make all the ice cream still myself. There's only a handful of people that I've really trained to do it, and they've gone on to become pastry chefs in their own right. So right now, I'm the one that makes all the ice cream.
Yeah. So are you doing a cart outside of Goat Town?
I won't do a cart outside of Goat Town this year. That's a licensing issue with the community board. We have the license to do it, but to maintain good relations with the community board in the East Village is a priority, and they asked me not to put the card out.
So. Yeah, because I saw that they are like rejecting folks' liquor license and stuff.
They do that. They approved our liquor license this year, so they're very generous, and we put a lot of effort into energy in the community, so they rewarded us for that.
Cool treats on your dessert menu at Goat Town.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you have the salted caramel pretzel. But what other pastries that bring in ice cream or some kind of frozen dessert?
Well, the main dessert on the menu is the salted caramel pretzel sundae. And I think that's probably the number one seller. I haven't looked at the numbers lately, but from just looking at the dining room, that's what's out in the dining room all the time. We make a float with Manhattan's extra special soda, the coffee soda, which is made in Greenpoint, if I'm not mistaken. We make sassafras ice cream with that. So that's a float. That's on the menu.
Oh, wow. Exciting.
It's popular. A lot of caffeine in that soda. So late at night, sometimes people want to do the coffee and the ice cream together. That's the move. I make chocolate sorbet. That is something that I think is unique and for me is inspired by a shop in Paris called Bertillon. And Bertillon is a place that's been around in Paris for a really long time. Second oldest ice cream shop in Paris. And they make this chocolate sorbet product that for me... I don't think I've ever had chocolate, anything that's like that, that translates chocolate the way that does.
Oh, I need to try that. Yeah, you should try that.
And so it's a sleeper because it's on the menu and it's just under the sorbet category and it just says chocolate sorbet. But I would say that every single person that gets it, they grab the server or the bartender or me if I'm around and say, this is incredible. It's an amazing product. So
I've been asking all my guests this month one question. And that is, and I'm going to ask Mr. Gonzalez first. What is your favorite summertime ice cream memory?
Memory.
Yes. And it can be a pop. It can be a paleta. It could be something else.
That's actually what it is. It's at my grandma's house in San Diego. The paletero, as we call him.
Yeah.
We'd hear the bells coming down the street, and they would come with their carts. And... just the flavors they have were amazing. And I was just back there recently, same with my parents, and it all came back, like arroz con leche.
Yeah.
they have a really awesome flavor of cucumber and chili. So it's like really refreshing, but kind of spicy.
So that takes you right back to
that takes me back. Anytime you can get a good paleta, it's that's summer.
Okay. And Nicholas, your favorite...
Totally loaded question for me.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, I make it, and I would get in really big trouble in front of the General Green because I would sit on the bench in front of the ice cream car, and I would eat a Haagen-Dazs ice cream bar, and they would be like, what are you doing? And I was like,
that takes you back?
No, I mean, just, I'm bad with ice cream. It's a bad thing. I'm impressed by large-scale operations that produce ice cream consistently all over
the
world.
It's fascinating, right?
It's crazy. It's really crazy. When you struggle to make 5 gallons of it come out right and then get that to be consistent again and again, and then you look at these operations where they're able to, like, they put it in a bodega in the middle of Bushwick, and you know it was produced I don't even know where, and it's the same as it was when you had it when you were in California, Hawaii, or whatever, blah blah blah. The ice cream product that I think about that takes me back, being from San Francisco, is something called an It's It, and I don't know
if they sell that at
Provisions. Green Grape. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not.
How did you knew I was gonna say
because
that
it ain't right.
Yeah, it's not the same as growing
at
up.
All. And I had one last week, and I go and I'm like, let me try it. And I don't know if it's their freezer there, because they're not keeping it in like a chest style freezer. They're keeping it in a compression freezer, which is different. But or if the distribution on that thing just isn't coming to the West Coast, and somebody there has just decided to figure out a way to ship it with dry ice or something like that. But it's not the same. But in San Francisco, if you eat one of those things, just like the plain vanilla, I think there's only 4. Flavors,
I didn't know they had. I didn't know flavors. They had more than one thing.
So it's vanilla, mint, coffee, strawberry, and chocolate.
Oh,
I'm
I would love
mistaken.
To try the strawberry.
Strawberry is excellent. I mean, the vanilla is the one, but it's 2 oatmeal cookies, and the thing is dipped in chocolate. And if you have one out there, I think it's one of the best food things that you can get in your mouth. You hold it in your hand. The texture of the cookie is really correct against the consistency of the ice cream, which is something that I think is complicated to do.
So folks, if you're listening, we're talking about a very popular West Coast ice cream sandwich, mm-hmm. and it's spell it. It's
I-T-Z-I-T-S-I-T-S-I-T. Yeah, so two words, it's it.
Yeah, so all my Southern folks and East Coast folks, I know you can find it in Provisions, Green Grape Provisions
in Brooklyn.
I don't know where
if
else.
If you've never had it before, go and get one from them and just taste it, because I think it's
outstanding.
They
probably ship too, right? The company in San Francisco?
I don't know the answer to that. Don't know. Shipping ice cream is complicated. I won't do it.
Yeah,
people
especially
ask me
in the
to
hot
do
months.
It, and I just don't think it's worth it. So,
all right, so we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna come back. I'm gonna do a very quick hot five of my top books about ice cream, how to make ice cream at home, or just look at the photos. Nick's gonna chime in. He probably has one for me
or two.
All right, folks, keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network Live. We'll be back in a sec. Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by myself and engineered today by Joe G. The program is being sponsored by Heritage Meat Shop. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York, the location of 2 sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. All right, folks, here it is. The ice cream month edition of the Hot Five. The Hot Five is a rundown of 5 things on fire in the good food movement. Influencers, farmers, celebrities, owners, and chefs dish on their favorite. So I'm going to kick it off. Nick's going to chime in on his favorite. I chose 4 books that are on my shelf that I love to death. And I think that if you're listening and you want to get into this whole ice cream thing, you have to pick it up. My first one is Jenny's Splendid Ice Cream. I absolutely love the book. I met Jenny in person. She is a fabulous person, super nice. And I think the book is gorgeous. It's won all kind of awards. So I say pick it up. Jenny's Splendid Ice Cream. They're based in Ohio. They have a bunch of scoop shops there.
Yeah, their product's amazing.
Yeah, it's the best ice cream ever. I know folks balk at the $10 price, but it's like...
pay for quality.
Pretty much. It's great ice cream. And the book is all at-home ice cream making. So if you want to make ice cream at home, I would say pick this book up. Even if you don't want to make it at home, just pick the book up. It's gorgeous. So that is number 5 on my Hot 5 Ice Cream National Month Edition. Number 4, I have to shout out my friend Fanny Gearson, since you were talking about paletas earlier. Fanny is based here in Brooklyn. She owns La New Yorkina, which is a paletas Mexican sweet shop. She's on the High Line and a bunch of other places. But she came out a book last year titled Simply Paletas. I would say pick it up, pick it up. She has some of the best authentic recipes in there if you want to make Mexican desserts. So that is number 3. Nick, I'm gonna give you that was actually number 4. I'm gonna let you give me number 3 on the Hot 5.
So for me, and I have a library of books that are based on dessert and also ice cream making, but something that comes to mind for me for being inspired is the original Chez Panisse dessert book.
Oh, really?
And just if you don't have it, get it and then look through the flavor profiles are so clear and so focused, and they're simple. It's really not
complicated. I don't have it, so there are a lot of ice cream stuff. Is ice cream stuff in there?
Yeah, I mean there's flavors all throughout the book and they have a section on ice cream, and but the approach, I'm always impressed if I can look at a book that's 20 years old and it's still speaking the language of what's happening today. And that book for me does that. I mean, I'm impressed with what she does with books in general, but for looking at something that's inspiring for ice cream flavors, that book can do it, as well as other stuff.
So you heard it right here, Nicholas. This is number 3, Chez Panisse Desserts by Miss Alice Waters. Nick, you got to give me one more because you told me one at the break. I mean, come on now. Right. Number 2 on the Hot 5 ice cream book edition.
Well, wait, it's number 1 for me.
Okay, it's number 1 for him, but
I'll do number 2 for you. It's,
in no order.
Okay, so it's The Secrets of Gelato. It's a Spanish book. Secretos de Gelato, is that right? Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe. If you speak Spanish in the United States, you'll understand half of what's in this book because it's
all in Espanol.
Yeah, and so it's complicated to understand. This is a very technical book, but the contributors to the book, they've spent their entire life figuring out.
Is this a fairly new
That book has title? Probably been around for 6 or 7 years. Okay. It's hard to find in the United States. You can probably find it online. It's not cheap. It's a big textbook style book with really amazing pictures and a complex understanding of what ice cream is and how it comes together.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna give you the final one. I love that book. I'm gonna have to pick that up.
Okay.
People love this book, the one that I'm about to say. If you go on like all the best-selling ice cream books, it's The Perfect Scoop by David Leibowitz.
A lot of respect for Mr. Leibowitz.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, he has the... people love him. I think when
if you just go on his website and look at recipes that he's working on right now, they work.
Exactly.
Every time.
So if you just want to start with the bare basics, I would definitely say go to his website if you're like low on money, but really you need to have that, The Perfect Scoop.
The book is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. In your library. So there it is, y'all. The Hot 5 Ice Cream National Ice Cream Month Edition. Nick, Mr. Gonzalez, thank you so much for coming on Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. You got to tell folks how to your exact address of Goat Town NYC and your website. I see you have a new. Is it new?
Working
it's something.
It
has. It has a lot of new info on it.
Yeah. The website is goattownnyc.com. The address of the restaurant is 511 East Fifth Street. We're between Avenues A and B in Alphabet City, the East Village of New York City. If you guys want to make a reservation, you can call us 212-687-3641.
There it is. Thank you so much for my goodies. I'm excited. I'm going to have to let you know how all this turns out. Listeners, thank you always for listening to Hot Grease. You can join me here live every Monday at 3:30 Eastern Time. But until then, always take the road less traveled. Went by quickly, huh?
Beliefs are in my song. The preacher, the banker, the drummer.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our programs archived on our website or by searching iTunes for Heritage Radio Network. You can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website. Thanks for listening.